You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You are now in the Corn Roof Podcast, a sports podcast from Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network. Here is your host, Jared Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Corn Roof Podcast. I am joined by, not Kevin today, filling in after his star performance on our live stream 2 weeks ago, Mr. Pat Donahue. Pat, how you doing, buddy?
Great. It's a beautiful Tuesday, and I'm on your show, so yeah.
Can't be better. Happy trade deadline day, folks. You know, it's one of the happiest days of the year usually for me, because my GM is a psychopath on this day, and also, you know, it's just fun imagining how teams are going to play out. We had a great weekend of football. For all you who came out and supported us for the test run of our Collide Party for Eagles Cowboys, thank you so much. For all y'all who didn't, we'll be doing another one for Eagles-Giants. I'm going to try to negotiate an Alabama game in there for Kevin, because there's no point in watching Patriots football at this point. It's worse than watching Eagles football. Listen, at least we score points. Oh, hey, boy.
Run the tape back to the Raiders game. That's probably going to be the most interesting game of the season.
You know what the worst part is? That game hosed me so bad in a pick segment once, and it makes me so mad that that was Bill's last hurrah for the season.
Yeah. All right. Now it's just tanking for Trevor, am I right?
Yeah, right. Well, hey, listen, the other side of that divorce, Tom Brady played last night. Me and Pat were both in our Xbox party watching the end of this live, and our reaction to the end of the game call was the same. Like, how the F is that not pass interference?
Yeah. I don't know. It's not that I really wanted to see the Giants win. I just wanted to have, like, Tom Brady have to really work for that win. And if that game had gone into overtime and, you know, he loses to the Giants and just repeats history of Tom Brady not doing well against the Giants, it would have brought me a little bit of joy.
Oh, no, I wanted to see the chaos, because I root because everyone jumped on the Buccaneers bandwagon after they smacked the Raiders and then they smacked the Packers. But this is the same guy, me, who's been telling you guys for almost 3 years now that the Packers are one of the softest teams in football. They can't stop the run, and the Buccaneers and the Vikings can do two physical things. Oh, it's run the football and get and not turn the ball over. So, well, at least that game they didn't. So, of course, right now in the background, you guys can't see it, but I have the NFL deadline going on, trade deadline going on right now. So far, the only move this morning was Desmond King heading to Tennessee. That is our only update so far as of 2:30 Eastern time. About an hour and a half before the deadline, so it's about. Hopefully, it gets crazy, because this is. I'm getting the vibe, buddy. Like, Kwon Alexander last night got traded as well, to the Saints from the 49ers. But I'm getting the vibe like it's seems too quiet.
Yeah. I'm waiting to see what happens with Stephon Gilmore. There's a lot of talk out of New England that he's definitely going. His house is on the market worth like he needs like offers by the trade deadline, and honestly, he hasn't really been producing for the past this year, so I think it's time to send him away.
I think for him, it's just like he needs a change of scenery, because you know he's a talented corner. He's fast enough. He's quick enough. He can play man-to-man coverage. One of the best fits right now, I just don't know if we can swing it, is Philadelphia, because we run a man-to-man system. He doesn't have to worry about being put on the best receiver all the time because, oh, wait, we have a top five corner on the other side too. And that would definitely help our defense, which has basically kept us in almost every game this year, except for Pittsburgh. My biggest thing is with the deadline. We'll move the deadline talk up. We'll kind of touch base on it a little bit in a minute. But right now, it's just like it seems really quiet. The Texans apparently have received a few offers for Will Fuller. They want at least a second rounder. I don't think he's worth it. I think he's about a third, fourth rounder. Because the problem is he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And every time I'm thinking, oh, great, the Texans have this great receiving corps. I'm like, oh, wait, their best deep threat is injured again.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, from a fantasy perspective, he's a feast or famine receiver because of how he, you know, he's going to be like a bench player because of how often he gets injured. And
yeah. We're stuck behind. And like the thing is, he had Hopkins on the other side for the longest time. So like he would have these monster games because, you know, you'd have the best corner covering number 10. Oh, there's number 15 catching his third touchdown of the game because nobody has the speed to cover him.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an odd next hour and a half, Pat. I mean, we'll probably finish up the show probably about within 15, 20 minutes of the deadline. So, all right, we'll get Rocket. Final thoughts on Monday Night Football. I don't think the Bucs are legit a number one seed in the NFC, but then again, the NFC is just insane this year. The NFC basically makes no sense because you have the East Eagles who – have played like garbage most of the year, but yet somehow find the way to win in the end almost every time or get within a touchdown or a extra point of winning. A la losing to Pittsburgh on a bad defensive call or losing to Baltimore where they don't get the two-point conversion. They're a better team than their record. Then you go to the South. You have the Buccaneers, who are football. But then they have these games that scare you where they can barely beat the Giants. I also think the Giants are better than their record says, too.
I don't know about that. It's, I mean,
their defense is impressive.
Yeah, their defense definitely put Tom Brady on his heels a little bit yesterday. And, I mean, it's not like the offensive line was doing Tom any favors. But, yeah, I mean, I don't see the Giants taking the NFC East at all. But
oh, no. Because the issue is that the team ahead of them in first place is on a bye. They're in the trade hunt for defensive help and offensive line help, and they get like half their players back from IR after the bye week.
Hmm.
Barring like, you know, catastrophic failure, it's looking optimistic for Eagles fans. Buccaneers fans, what I'll say is that you have the best offense in football. You have the second best offense in the league on paper. I want to see what AB does throwing into this offense, but I also want to see, is this offensive line thing a problem now? Because the Giants maybe just gave the NFL a blueprint how to get to Brady. And I don't know, Ronald Jones looked like he was struggling last night. Mike Evans didn't really get going until the second half. It's going to be a weird concept going forward, how everything looked for the Buccaneers. The Giants definitely kind of kryptonited them a little bit.
Yeah, so, Obviously, you know, AB played New England like one game last season, and like he looked really good for that one game. But I'm hoping that, I mean, for Bucs fans' sakes, that they can connect a lot more, and he just becomes another freaking tool in Tom Brady's tool bag for this season because offense is stacked. I feel like it's beating a dead horse, but Jesus.
Yeah, but the thing is, like now you have Godwin out, so they really need AB to produce.
Yeah.
So.
How long is he out for?
I think I saw 3 to 6.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, he'll be back for playoffs, though.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, that wraps it up for our Monday football coverage. Now we're going to America's favorite game. Pat, this is Pat's first time ever attempting the one-sentence game. So, Pat, the last person who gave it a one-shot was our former colleague Joey Liven, who's a basketball writer, came on and went on two-hour rants after every take I had or he had. So we'll try to keep this one quicker. I'm not going to do the timer like I do with me and Kevin because I think you'll be good about it. We'll start with Thursday night. Pat, what is your one sentence about Falcons-Panthers?
I think the Falcons are better than their record. All right? They actually did look good. Let me put that. They didn't look bad their same night. I think that's actually what I wrote down as my comment for that game is they didn't look bad Thursday night.
Nice. My comment was possibly Julio's last game in Atlanta, buy a shirt for Julio.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to push the merch at least once a show. So, and the Panthers just—I knew they were going to be a 6-10 team. It's halfway point; they're halfway there. The best game of the weekend: Steelers Ravens.
Four turnovers? That's my how Lamar Jackson how?
I'll tell you how in my sentence. Lamar Jackson's overrated.
No, sir.
Who said that?
No,
How
sir.
How dare you say that about the NFL reigning MVP? folks, I watched – so back to – short. We'll go off the rails a little bit for a second. Short story. I watched on national television my team take on these two teams back-to-back weeks. You want to know which team scared the daylights out of me more? Pittsburgh. You know which team I think we still had a shot of beating? Pittsburgh. But you know what team we should have smacked? Baltimore. You know why we lost to Baltimore? Because Miles Sanders and John Hightower dropped walk-in touchdowns, and Jake Elliott missed a chip shot field goal.
Jeez.
That's why we lost. And also failed two-point conversions. Like, Baltimore feels so flawed to me. And I look at it from the start of the season, like, how do we miss this? Because the signs are there. It's just we all overlooked. Half of the media thought they were going 16-0.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge difference. I feel like watching a Ravens game this season versus last season, and I don't really know how much of it is teams finally figuring out how to stop Lamar Jackson, and I don't know how much of it is Lamar Jackson kind of having, like, not necessarily sizzled out, but kind of having peaked last season, and I don't know. He has
progressed enough to, like, to catch up with the film that people have on him now.
Yeah, I'm certainly interested to see what they do for the rest of the season. Obviously, having to play the Steelers isn't, like, good at all this season, especially with Big Ben back. But, you know, I want to see Lamar actually reach his full potential this year.
I do, too. Rams and Dolphins, I'll go first. It's Tua time. It didn't need to be. It's Tua time. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. They got the win. Yeah. The Rams are a joke when they go to the East Coast, so.
The sentence I wrote down was also, it's Tua time. But like you said, it doesn't need to be Tua time. He didn't even break, what, like 100 yards? He had like 97 or something?
He got smacked by Donald on the first drive. I was like, oh, yeah. Buddy, no.
In a fantasy league, I had to make the decision. I had Rodgers and Watson was on a bye. So I looked at Aaron Rodgers, and I, you know, looked at the weather conditions for that game, which was like 25-mile-an-hour winds with 40-mile-an-hour gusts, and I kind of made that internal decision of, well, I don't see throwing a football like more than like a couple yards when, you know, you can get a gust of 40 miles an hour and hitting a receiver. So picked up Tua real quick.
Once.
Yeah. Picked up Tua, so disappointed. And then I saw this, I ended up coming home from work and ended up watching what was left of the game, or off and on between them in the past game. And realized it was defense and special teams that really carried that win for the Dolphins. But I'm interested to see how Tua does. He just has so much potential, and hopefully they don't make the decision to put Fitzpatrick back in.
Well, next week the Rams take on the Dolphins. Sorry, wrong person. Dolphins take on Dolphins take on the Cardinals in Arizona. So not as good of a defense, but a better offense. So they may have to turn Tua loose a little bit.
I'd be skeptical of that game, honestly. I still feel like it's not gonna be a blowout for the Cards, but I still think the Cards win that game regardless. I don't think that they can stop Kyler.
Want to hear an absolute blowout next week? Want to hear my lock for the week already? Steelers Cowboys, America's game of the week. Oh boy,
Jesus. Yeah,
Ben DiNucci's gonna get a nice little old fat face of T.J. Watt real and Bud Dupree real early. Jets Chiefs. Yeah, that's how I thought it was gonna go.
Yeah, was there any...
The only other comment is only 35? Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of surprising that Pat Mahomes was only going to throw up 35 on a Jets team. And the Jets actually got 9 on the Chiefs. Like, if the scoreline didn't seem right, the outcome just seemed right.
Yeah. It was almost like the Jets actually were playing defense. It's almost like they knew Avery Williams was on his way out. Yeah. By the way, best farewell picture ever. Him getting traded to the – for you guys don't know, the Towns linebacker from the Jets, Avery Williams, was traded to the Steelers, like, I think it was like maybe 24 hours after he played. And his picture was him in Jets full attire, staying on the sidewalk, calling a taxi.
Jesus.
Just great. All right. Vikings, Packers. Oh, Pat, I love being right. I love being right.
Dalvin Cook.
Packers are so soft.
Dalvin cooked. Oh, my gosh. What was that? 3 or 4 touchdowns? And, like, one of them was a 50-yard TD reception? 4 touchdowns? Yeah, 4 touchdowns. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he went off on the Green Bay defense.
Oh, my Lord, that was amazing. I am like, and the best part is my dad is a Vikings fan, but he doesn't really follow football, like, too much. He's a casual football fan. He'll, like, watch it when it's on, but he's not going to go out of his way to watch it. He's a Vikings fan. And he said to me, I guess, I don't even know half the guys on this team anymore, man. I don't even recognize half these names. And I'm like, just remember Dalvin Cook. And he goes, okay, he's the best. He's like the third best running back in the league. And then I said to him, like, Dad, the game's on. He turns it on. And they just literally, the offense unloaded on Green Bay. I was like, Dad, keep watching.
Don't sleep on Adam Thielen, though. Oh, my gosh.
He's still not a bad receiver. I think that we jumped the gun on Justin Jefferson just a tiny bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were talking about this last night about how, like, Juju's a really good wide receiver, too. That's how I feel about Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen is an amazing wide receiver, too. And now they've kind of switched around their wide receivers, if I'm remembering that correctly. But, it'd be nice if he had Stephon Diggs back. It'd be nice if the Vikings had Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, well, they chose Thielen over Diggs, and I think they're regretting it a little bit. Yeah. Colts, Lions. All right, so this one, my sense is simple. Detroit, I'm sorry. You had a lot of promise this year. Like, you have a good, hungry, young defense. Stafford was playing well. Then Galladay gets hurt. You have a good, promising running back. And then the Colts punch you in the mouth. The Colts are so damn physical.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Colts looking real nice, though. I think this is a good playoff shot for them this year. You know, knock on wood.
I think they're a solid wild card team. I think they're going to definitely be like that 5 or 6 seed where you're just like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Like, that's not an easy win for the 3 or 4 seed. Like, that's going to be a rough one.
I can get behind the wild card idea on that. Like, for sure, they are definitely a wild card contender.
Oh yeah. Another hey, listen, next game we'll go right to another wild card contender, the Oakland Raiders. beat the Cleveland Browns, and they beat the win 16-6. Oh my god, that game made Philadelphia Dallas look like a winner. Oh boy.
Josh Jacobs went sicko mode. That's all I gotta say about that.
Yeah, I definitely benefited in fantasy because of it, so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, Josh.
206 yards on 44 carries.
Oh my god, that's that looks like you with Kareem Hunt in the halfback dive.
Look, so for those of you who haven't fully understood the Madden League thing that goes on with the show, me, Kevin, and Jared, and a bunch of other friends, I'll play in the same Madden League for the past over a year. We're in the year like 2036, 2038.
2038, I think. We're at year 17 or 18.
And I drafted Kareem Hunt as, like, my running back one from our, like, draft that we did. And hit, like, halfback dive over, like, 1,500 times over the course of, like, 6 seasons. This shit was insane. But, yeah, no, for real, Josh Jacobs took that, like, 44 carries in the game for 206 yards. Oh, my goodness.
It was beautiful. I was, like, so happy. I was like, this is just great. Oh, my God. It made me feel good because I was just like, I love seeing Cleveland Browns fans just they're too obnoxious about the team. I'm sorry. I get it. You love them being good. But, like, guys, Baker's not good. Jordan's slot receiver, that's it. You guys are wasting and jumping. Miles Garrett's the best pass rusher in the league nobody knows about because he's stuck up in Cleveland. The only thing everyone knows him for is what our good friend Justin calls him, Helmet Smasher.
Yep.
And, I'm not – I like, a couple weeks ago, if you said, oh, we're playing Cleveland, I'm like, oh, boy. And now I'm Eagles play Cleveland in 3 weeks, and I'm just like, okay, that's cool. We'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I really do like watching the Browns play, especially with Nick Chubb in. But, you know, they obviously still have Kareem Hunt. But, it's sad to see them lose to the Raiders. But, yeah, you're right. Baker Mayfield's not good. He's not – I wouldn't call him bad. He's just a very average quarterback. One of those quarterbacks super hyped coming out of college and just kind of sizzled out a little bit.
He's like a tier three. I think that's what he is. He's not a tier one like don't yell at me for this. Like, as my guy is literally clinging on to tier one by the finger by his fingernails. After every interception, a fingernail falls off. But like, you know,
every interception, sack, terrible throw.
Listen, the sacks aren't his fault. It's the freaking turnovers. That offensive line pads basically you and me up there blocking for him.
Jeez.
All right, Titans Bengals. The fuck just happened?
Derrick Henry can't carry your whole team.
Yeah, what Sorry, happened Titans to Tannehill fans. Being a top 10 quarterback, guys? Like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. The Bengals, they kept Henry to 112 rushing yards, which I guess is a...
yeah.
I guess that's a good thing to do, to keep him under, like, 150, but... Sorry, Titans fans. Just sorry.
I think I always make the joke that every year the Eagles have that game, you're just sitting there like, what?
Yeah.
We've had three this year. it was our first three games of the season, ironically. But I was just like, huh? That's how Titans fans must feel this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So my sentence basically is, the hell just happened? I mean, like, the Bengals are about to do a fire sale in their receiving core. They're about to send Ross and A.J. Green west and east and south and north and wherever. But, like, damn. All right. Pat, I got to do this to you, man. I can't hold off any longer. Patriots, Bills, I'll let you go first, buddy.
So, initially, and this was the wrong emotion to have, I wanted to say... Cam Newton needs to hold on to the ball. That is such a bad, like, he did carry that offense. They the running backs like Damian Harris did a really good job, but my one sentence is Patriots offense can't finish a drive. The Patriots just this season cannot score a touchdown. They're so few and far between, and it hurts. It hurts, but. Yeah.
So what was the last time the Patriots were this bad? Was this 2000?
Jeez, somewhere. I wouldn't even say. I don't think the season that Brady was injured we were doing this bad.
They weren't even a bad team.
No. I mean, every game they throw some stats.
Oh, Pete Carroll's last year with them. That was their last, like, this year this bad.
Yeah, I mean, every game they'll throw up some stat where it's like, you know, this is the worst New England start since, like, 1998 or some shit, and it's like... Yeah, that hurts, but, like, also, too, like, it'd be nice to kind of have a restructure a little bit, get, like, decent first-round picks rather than, you know, like, last season where we're going to, like, you know, we're making playoffs, but, like, we're not going anywhere, so the draft pick gets hurt because of it, which I've been saying this for the past week or so. Tank for Trevor, so let's go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for my team, we had to deal with, like, the failure that was 2014 and Mark Sanchez playing for the Cowboys secretly. You know, then we had the year of epic proportions was 15, and then, you know, the restart of 16, and then, 17, we win the Super Bowl. Like, that's the goal. It's like a three-year turnaround from absolute failure. So, I don't know. I think the Patriots are going to be in the same boat with Philly. We're like, all right, you know, we got to restructure. This isn't working. Like, let's blow it up. Let's get Fields or Trevor or Trey Lance and, like, let's build something around them.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. And I think it's just like the Steelers. I think the Patriots will be back in like 2-3 years. I think the problem is like, I don't know if it's going to be with Bill.
I mean, I'm optimistic.
Bill might have about 5 more years left in.
Yeah. I mean, for people who don't know, his son Steve is doing a lot of defensive play calling. I think one of the other Belichick sons is involved in coaching somewhere. But I hope it's the case of if Bill doesn't want to like ride out the restructure, he at least passes the reins over to Steve, who's literally grown up in the organization. You know, the hard knocks that they did for the Patriots, like they show Steve in the office with Bill, like for part of the episodes. But yeah, I mean, another issue too is the Pats don't have really any good wide receivers, which
facts.
You know, there's a whole other issue to address. But you also need a QB that's going to have longevity in your organization, and then you can give him some weapons that can help him out.
Yeah, it really. It just comes down to like, well shit, like what are we doing here? Like, I mean, I didn't want to yell at Kevin for this because like he was obvious. Like, oh, the Patriots with Cam, they're gonna win the Super. They're going back to the Super Bowl. I'm like, I don't know. Like half of them didn't even know if he was kidding or not. And I think he started to realize, oh, this might not actually work for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have my integrity check moment. I was really confident with Cam coming in that we had like a. I'm quoted saying this to wild card shot, which mm-hmm.
I thought it was reasonable for a wild card.
Yeah, and then you know like week four kind of happened, week five, and you know we hit that point of like, oh well, this is the, you know like last week kind of that point of no return where it's like,
yeah,
we need to win this game and every other game, and obviously the Bills had other plans for the Patriots.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think this is the Bills' year. Like, they're actually going to be decent. My sentence is the Bills got their demons out. I guess nobody really does circle the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. It was like 5 or 6 straight since they'll beat them last.
It's an absurdly high.
It's an absurd number. They've been having the Bills' number for almost ever. So, good for the Bills. Good for Josh Allen. They were so close last year. Yeah, this Bills team's legit still. Like, everyone, like, slept on after they got the crap kicked out of them by Tennessee, but, like, they're still hanging around. They're still there.
Hmm.
Every team has a bad week.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen and, you know, I hate to say it, but Josh Allen is probably the best quarterback in the AFC East, so.
Oh, yeah. I would totally say that.
It pains me for the first time in my life to say that Tom Brady is not the best quarterback in the AFC East, so.
Oh, he had to pay rent somewhere else, so, I mean, he got away with that one there. All right, Chargers and Broncos. My sentence is simply, that was pass interference. I feel really bad for the Chargers. 4 straight 16-point leads blown. Oh, boy.
So, my one sentence is, Drew Locke can lead a rally. You know, he turned that game around at halftime, but, oh, my gosh. The Chargers deserve a much better record than what they have. And Justin Herbert, oh my gosh, for a rookie, I don't know what it is about that team that just, they can't, like, their record can't reflect how the team actually is. And that, as you know, for Chargers fans, that must be terrible. I am so sorry if anyone is a Chargers fan.
The Chargers are the 2016 Philadelphia Eagles. Talented quarterback with a cannon arm who loves to improvise. No real running threat, decent big receivers. They have better receivers than the 2016 Eagles did, but like,
yeah.
Not as good a tight end. But like, the head coach is pretty good. The defense is pretty solid, but there's some injuries on it. It's like they're there, but they need a season and a couple free agents, and that's a Super Bowl team. Because I think Herbert has the skill level to jump in year two to be a like what. Roethlisberger was in year two, Wentz was in year two, what a lot of these guys, Mahomes was in year three, like a lot of these guys are, year three, who are just like, you know, they just make that leap. So I think Herbert's that next quarterback. Everyone was talking about, like, I think Tua is going to end up being the second or third best quarterback in this class. I know Kevin's going to yell at me for this, but I think he lacks Burrow's toughness, and he lacks Herbert's raw talent. Where Tua has great accuracy, but I worry about how fragile he is, and I worry about just everything else. He looks good, but I feel like also you look a lot better when you have four first-round pick wide receivers and, like, two second-round pick running backs next to you. So, I don't know. I'm willing to be wrong on Tua, but I love rubbing it into Kevin a little bit that he was very wrong on Herbert, and I've been driving his bandwagon since about March.
Yeah, I mean, it's always really fun to watch Herbert play. And, you know, I wouldn't call it, like, I wouldn't say I'm a Tyrod Taylor fan, but I do like watching Tyrod Taylor play football. And it kind of hurt when, you know, they made that decision to, you know, just be like, yeah, well, Herbert's our starter. That's just what we got to do. And obviously, you know, the doctor, what was the procedure that he even did on
it was for, Tyrod? It was a cortisone, it was like a painkiller shot for busted ribs.
Yeah.
So he missed it.
And, so, you know, just another season for Tyrod to go away like that hurts. But, like, you know, to get to see Herbert come out and play the way he has been is actually, it's kind of a thing to the Tyrod, and, you know, air quote, injury, I guess.
Yeah. All right, next up, 49ers Seahawks. Moment of silence for the 49ers season. Jeez. Oh, buddy. That was rough. That's my sentence. That was rough.
So, got a little two-parter here. DK Metcalf is a beast, and RIP 49ers. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what's going on in San Francisco to make all of their players so fragile. I understand, like, there was no preseason. There was, like, you know, a huge issue with conditioning and getting ready for a season, but I don't know what the 49ers did wrong compared to everyone else to be like have injuries to this capacity, but rest in peace their season. You're right.
Oh my God. Like, it's just like I know people who are 49ers fans are a little obnoxious because they got so close last year. And I'm just like, you know, like, well, who's better than us? Who's going to beat us? And I'm like, I figure like four or five teams. And I'm just like, and I just feel bad. I'm just like, oh my God. Ouch. Like, Colin Coward said that Jimmy G's done in San Fran, and I fully believe that too. I just think that I think they're done with him. Like, it's like, dude, you can't stay healthy. Like, he makes Carson Wentz look durable, and it's and like Kittle getting hurt sucks, but at least Kittle's been like their biggest like threat. Ayuk's got promise. That running game with Coleman and Mostert have a lot of promise if they can stay healthy. I just think they caught that post Super Bowl injury bug the Eagles caught in 18. I think Philadelphia kind of passed it on to them a little bit. It really sucks. I feel bad for Niners fans. And the Seahawks cannot play fucking defense. And LeBron and DK Metcalf is LeBron James of our league, of the NFL.
I mean, DK is really good. I mean, we saw how athletic he can be, especially with the Buda Baker tackle, which, oh my gosh, that was a hilarious. DK just chasing him downfield last week. But, that dude is... DK Metcalf, really good at football.
He is. Everyone's like, "Oh, Julio's the best, like, pure, like all around wide receiver." He is like, if DK can learn how to run routes, he's Julio, but everything else is better.
Yeah.
Like athleticism, speed, toughness, strength, like everything that Julio is known for with his route running. Imagine if DK can start learning how to run underneath routes. I mean, that stop route was beautiful. The one we scored the touchdown on, I was like, that's like textbook. He froze the corner. But yeah, DK is a freak. LeBron says like the baby Bron. Like LeBron, I'll agree with you on that one. Like he is like the U of receivers.
I would agree. Like you said though, if DK got better at just running routes, like yeah, on a streak, like you know, send him just straight downfield. Absolutely, DK's the guy for that.
But... he'll just out jump whoever's covering him.
Yeah. The one more comment about the 49ers, though. Kyle Juszczyk is about to carry that team for any win that they have from this point on.
Fullback brands, me and Pat are full endorsers. the legends of James Carney and Matt Grove. Those of you who don't know, me and Pat are the sole proprietors and presidents of the Fullbacks fan club of our league. Two of arguably the greatest fullbacks in our league play for Pat's former team, the Texans, and my team, the Eagles. Oh boy. So yeah, no, it's we're four fans of the fullback, and Juszczyk is definitely the best in the league. So Saints, Bears. It almost struck me like which team wants to lose this more in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like I don't like either team going forward. I really don't. I really think both teams are super flawed, and both teams are going to take some serious losses on the back end of the season.
My one sentence is protect your mouthpiece. That's my sense out of this game.
It's just like, what the hell is that fight?
And it was just like, the retaliation was so dumb. Like,
idiot, he's got a helmet on. What are you doing? It's like you're hitting it with a paddle. Like, it's not going to work.
I can't remember who I said this to, but I was like, you know, I get it. Like, in that situation, like, it's just all adrenaline. And it's like, you know, you've been on the sideline for so long, and like, you just have like this, like, you know, you're sitting in angst and brooding, like, well, I can't wait to get back out there and, you know, like, stir the pot a little bit more. But to punch him in the helmet, go for the ribs or something, man. Like, you know, which I don't even know, like with pads on, he's not even going to feel that either. It's like, maybe push him down, do anything but punch him in the helmet. But yeah, also, how did that even go to OT? I didn't really think the Bears were going to actually do much against the Saints, but I guess the Saints just didn't really have the heart until overtime.
The Saints didn't have the luck till overtime. That game was just like, whoa, buddy. I was like, oh, God. All right, now we got to talk about it. The game, of course, y'all watched with me and Kevin on Sunday. Eagles, Cowboys. The Eagles took on the wind, and they took on the Cowboys. They still somehow pulled it out. And my sentence is simply my motto for the Eagles this entire season. They don't ask how, they ask how many. A W is a W.
Jeez.
That's what it is. Like, you can't, like, I mean, yes, the second interception was all wind, because if you look at the route from the eye in the sky cam, Hightower had Diggs beat, and if that ball stays the trajectory, it's a walk-in touchdown for Hightower, or at least a contested catch or a knockdown. Mm-hmm. But the ball tails like a two-seam fastball towards the left side of the end zone, and like, Diggs makes a phenomenal catch, and I'm just like, oh, buddy. And I didn't even see it until they looked like they show like a far angle. It's like the ball literally that extra point from the damn game from Cleveland and Oakland. It's like, oh my God. But yeah, no, the Eagles got away with one. We made it to the bye. Everyone slays fine. All of our players are getting off injury. We're okay. That's it. That's all I'm done about this game. Pat, what do you got?
Mine's my one sentence is, I can't even call it a sentence. The Cowboys are bad. The Cowboys are bad. I mean, Dak, obviously, his injury, that's terrible, because I felt like Dak was kind of on that, like, MVP season, possibly, because he was having a great season before the injury, and then to have Andy Dalton get injured, and then you have DiNucci come in, and he just kind of DiNucci.
Yeah. He started again, because Andy Dalton, breaking news, by the way, that broke about an hour ago, he's on the COVID list, so DiNucci's back in for round two against Pittsburgh.
Jeez, yeah, that hurts too, because I have in like two different leagues, I have Amari Cooper as like my wide receiver too. So I was like, all right, well, he put up like 1.9 or 2 points in fantasy or something this week in a full PPR.
To be fair, the first half of the game, he was getting covered by his worst nightmare, Darius Slay, but then after Slay went down, he just didn't get open.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had a total of like 3 or 5 targets or something. It wasn't a lot. It's like,
they threw the ball to Gallup a lot.
Yeah, they've been, I feel like that's kind of been what the Cowboys have been doing, right?
I feel like, don't be surprised if by the way, like, I mean, we've got about an hour left to the deadline. I wouldn't be surprised if Cooper's gone. They give him that contract, but I feel like they're like, yeah, we don't want him anymore. Like, peace?
Yeah.
Or he's gone in the offseason. I think they just don't want him anymore. Because, like, Cooper needs to be a number two receiver. I don't think he can handle, like, the spot of being number one. He needs, like, a guy, at least, like, a young rookie who's going to take, like, some look off of him, because the problem is with Cooper is he needs to be away from the best like, when you put a guy like Slay or a Gilmore on him, he becomes useless. It's just like, it's, I mean, the game that told me about Cooper's work ethic was last year, Eagles Cowboys. Dude took himself off in the last play of the game. They yeeted at Michael Gallup, and Sidney Jones, who's on the Jags practice squad, swatted the ball down. So it's like, what do you want me to tell you? It's the Cowboys. I think Jerry's starting to realize, like, oh, this might be a long time till we get back to old Title VI.
I will say though, I think it was Sawyer who made this comment about watching NFC East games. They're really entertaining, and it might be for different reasons why he and I say this, but for me, it's almost kind of like watching like D2 football, where it's just like there's not much.
I swear somebody cursed the NFC East a couple years ago.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know what the NFC has done to anger the football gods to just have four teams be this consistently mediocre to bad.
So remember how Election Day 2016 was November 2nd, right? So I shared something on Facebook from November 2nd, and it said, "What the F 2016? You know, our president was elected." I was just in shock because I didn't think it was going to happen. Regardless of where politically, I think everyone was in a little bit of shock that he won.
Oh, absolutely.
You have the Cavs winning the NBA Finals. You have the Cowboys starting 6-1. You had DiCaprio winning an Oscar. And you had the Cubs winning the World Series. And literally the caption is, "What the F 2016? So we all can take a chill pill about 2020. Because let's remember, 2016 made no sense in sports. We loved it. It just made no sense.
Yeah. Accurate.
So accurate. All right. That's up for the one sentence game. Actually, no, hold on. We'll do a quick lightning one for Bucks Giants. We already did Ignosium. Mine is quickly. Bucks are flawed. That was pass interference. Pat?
Bucks almost blew it. Probably PI was actually what I wrote down. But yeah, perfect. Absolutely.
All right. So, Pat, we're getting into the. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know how we do the six pack every week, right? So, our newest member of the Corner Booth family, Mr. Donahue over here, thoughtfully suggested, while we break down me and Kevin's atrocious picks from last week, we'll review a beer. So, Pat, what do you have today?
So, I know you're a big IPA guy. I absolutely hate IPAs. But we had some in the fridge for my brother because he's a Castle Island guy. I have Castle Island Keeper India Pale Ale.
So, good beer.
For the past, like, hour and 5 minutes, I've been trying to, like, really just go through this. So, gotta say, not an IPA guy. Hate the aftertaste. Hate the regular taste. I have a Miller Lite actually behind it as, like, a reward for when this is finally done.
So, fun fact. Pat knows this as well. There's only two, cheaper beers I drank, like, religiously. One Yingling and the other, of course, because I was raised on, is Miller Lite. I have a feeling me, Pat, and Kevin could drop a 30 rack of Miller Lite in about an hour.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, I wouldn't say an hour. However, like, three of us
hour,
could probably.
Hour and a half. I'd say if we're watching sports and we're not driving anywhere and there's food, I could see definitely an hour and a half dropping a 30 rack.
Fair enough. I can get behind that.
So mine, as an IPA lover and a craft beer connoisseur that I am, I still love cheap beer, so I'm not one of those weird snobs. I'll drink basically Pabst if it's offered to me. Lagunitas, Born Yesterday Pale Ale, brand new beer from them. I just picked it up this morning. It's one of their one-hitter series. It's a high-alcohol pale ale. It's a 7.2. Crack it right now. I already had one, but I want to get a little better. It has a very IPA taste to it. Pat, you'd probably like this, but it's not strong like an IPA. It's a little more – it's got a little more hoppy flavor than like an ale, like a regular ale or like a Miller.
Mm-hmm.
But it still easily has enough taste where you're like, okay, this isn't going to kill me. It doesn't feel like I'm just drinking a pine cone. So I like it. It's a very good beer. I would definitely give it a solid rating if we were going to rate our beers. I've had that Castle Island before. My favorite, though, is High Def. That's my favorite Castle Island. But basically, Castle Island High Def tastes like alcohol with beer flavoring. So,
And the whole reason I like Miller Lite is because it's like crispy water. So
pretzel water. That's what I want.
Whenever I get like a real person beer, like, you know, for instance, this IPA, it hits me a different kind of way taste wise, and it's a struggle.
Hey, listen, man, I grew up in a Miller Lite house. There's always two things guaranteed in my fridge. There's some kind of IPA. There's always Miller Lite, and there might be Yingling if you're lucky. But that's basically my house for beer. But all right, now that we've gotten our beer reviews out of the way,
please sponsor us. I mean them. Oh, hold on.
Hey, Pat, you're part of the show. All right, me and Kevin took Michigan, Michigan State. There's a big old L right there. Oh, boy.
What was the final of that game?
Oh, I don't even know what the spread was. I just remember hearing like Michigan State won. I was like, oh good God, we blew it. And Kevin's exact words, and I think he jinxed the Wolverines, were, it's too early for Jim Harbaugh to blow a big game. And, well, yeah, 27-24 is the final. So okay. There's a big old L for me and Mr. Kevin. Then next up, he took Texas's upset. I took Oklahoma State. That came down to the final possession. He then had to, of course, rub it into my face. Little tool. We both took Ohio State to smack the daylights out of Penn State. I mean, they didn't kill them, but they beat them. We both took the Steelers. So
smart.
Yeah, I don't believe in them at all. We both took the Saints. And then we both took the Seahawks. And then Kevin took Alabama as his lock. And I tried to take Arkansas as my upset. So Kevin beat me 7-4.
Ooh, you hate to see it. Unless you're Kevin, then congratulations.
Yeah, right. So Kevin's first 7-point game since when he originally beat me, which was week 7. So, as of last week, it was 37-33.5. There was a little argument we had about points differential and everything else. I talked him out of picking his lock being Philadelphia Baltimore. I honestly wish I didn't talk him out of it because Philly probably would have pulled that out. Yeah. So right now it is 41-40.5. I still have the lead.
Barely.
That's great. Because of that half point, I still have the damn lead.
You know what? A lead to lead, I guess. It's the Eagles motto, right?
Motto, Pat? Yeah. They don't ask how, they ask how many.
There you go.
I'll take the W. All right. So, not a great week for your boy. I promise on our live stream I'll bring my A game. Two bad weeks in a row. I haven't shot an 8 since I picked Eagles upsetting the 49ers. That was actually – no. Yeah. That was week 4. I nailed week 4. Week 4, I shot a perfect score. Wow. The perfect score is 8 points, by the way.
Jeez. It's been a while then.
Yeah, you're telling me. All right, so next up, quick review of college football, of course. Mac Jones, our boy – we're a fan of him on this show. Buy the shirts on Teespring. Of course, he's our boy, Cruz Oxenrider's guy as well. He's currently the leader in the Heisman because Trevor COVID struck. Is that not PC? I'm not sure. I really don't care. But yeah, like he might miss the Notre Dame game. He might play. I mean, their backup played well. They almost took an L to Boston College.
Yeah.
If they lost to Boston College, I was going to laugh so damn hard. I was going to probably have beer coming out of my nose. But of course, Boston College is useless. They don't do anything except piss me off. So
I really thought that I was in a dream. So I'd slept in that day and I'd woke up to, I could not remember who texted me this, but basically like this, saying like, oh, like BC's beating Clemson. And I was like, what? So I checked the scoreline and BC was up, I think like 10 before the half. I couldn't believe it. Like, I thought it was a dream, went back to sleep for a couple minutes, like, showered, had breakfast, came down, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess BC blew it, so must have been a dream.
Yeah, it was really funny because there was a lot of weird games. So, like, I was leaning on taking Memphis over Cincinnati as my upset. And the first quarter, I mean, I do follow the American Athletic a little because I do love Memphis, I do love SMU, I do like Cincinnati. Like, those were all colleges I even looked at in college. Except for SMU, it was too far. Keep me out of that hellhole that is Dallas. But Memphis, Cincinnati, two colleges I respect and like very much. Yeah, it was 10-0 at one point. It finished 49-10. Thank God I didn't take that. I would have felt even worse. West Virginia knocking off Kansas State. I definitely saw that coming. Coastal Carolina smacking Georgia State 51. My number, nothing. Notre Dame.
Oh, boy. 51-0.
51-0.
Oh, my gosh. I had to have missed that scoreline. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's Coastal Carolina. They've only been D1 for like 4 years. Their most famous player is Josh Norman, who's still in orbit somewhere after Derrick Henry tossed him.
Jeez.
Yeah. Notre Dame. It got a little sloppy for a second against Georgia Tech, but, I mean, they picked their own schedule, so no wonder they're still like 10. They're still undefeated. Indiana knocked off Rutgers. Texas, Oklahoma, we talked about. Air Force got clipped by Boise State. Alabama shut out the Pirate in Mississippi State. A&M. Arkansas will be interesting. They only lost by 11, but not close enough. Missouri and Florida, the most entertaining game of the week because of the fight that broke out. But Florida ended up winning 41-7. And, of course, SMU beating Navy 51-37. North Carolina, this was the game I was so hyped about. The Tar Heels were upset by Virginia coming off of a butt-whooping, coming off of a tight loss against Miami. Last weekend, they come out and they beat North Carolina. So props to you, Cavaliers, for making my life even easier. That's one less team I got to worry about because we play them. If we beat them, we knock them out completely of ACC. Yeah. ACC. The best record thing screws us all up. And also Notre Dame. I wouldn't be as worried if Notre Dame wasn't in the conference or if we played them. I think Notre Dame is the fakest top five team. I think if you put Notre Dame in Miami on the same field, it's 35-10 Miami with Notre Dame running with their tail between the legs. If you put Clemson and Notre Dame in the same field, it's 65-10 Notre Dame. They just don't seem like the elite team that everyone thought they were.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why everyone thinks that Notre Dame is just this like amazing football program. That's just I've never really viewed that as the case.
And name.
Yeah. I feel like they're just one of those overhyped, which I'm sure if there's any Notre Dame fans listening that y'all are gonna catch a flag for me saying this, but yeah, Notre Dame's way overhyped.
Oh, this is a Notre Dame hate podcast, so you're fine.
Good.
Also, BYU smacked Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Sawyer's second favorite school.
Oh, man.
All right. Finally, we're going to quick update NBA season. Somebody was talking about this. They're like, when's NBA starting up? I'm like, I have no idea. Adam Silver and the Chicken League, that is the NBA, still haven't picked a way to start the season yet, preseason, anything. Players have been like in control scrimmages with their teammates and stuff like that, but that's basically all we've gotten. Draft's supposed to be in a week or two. I would love to see him come back for Christmas. I know now, as if we've hit the November deadline, that's impossible. But I'd hope to love to see January, at least get like a half season.
Would really like to give props to the NBA for successfully doing a bubble. Because the NFL and how like they reschedule games and like all this and like every player, you know, like the week that we had like the Patriots had like Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore with COVID, like it throws such a weird kind of like aspect into the game. I have to respect
they get did. Tuesday Night Football though. That was fun.
Yeah, that was probably the only good thing to come out of it was the wonky schedules led to like extra football at the start of the week. But like NFL, please.
I will admit, I agree with you a little bit. I will admit, Kevin is so hating the NFL. I think he's still bitter at Goodell. I'm not sure. But, like, we disagree on this because I am going with the flow with the NFL because I'm just happy we have football.
Mm-hmm.
Do I like how it's run? No. Am I terrified of players getting COVID and missing a game? Yes. But am I just accepting the fact that this is the reality we got to live in for this season? Of course. Do I think it's perfect? No, but do I accept it? And do I think they're doing the best they can with the circumstances? Yeah. This is what you get when you don't make a plan, but they're making it work. The season's still going. So, like, you know what?
Like, yeah. And it's definitely going a lot better than I thought it was going to go. I wanted to give the NBA, now that I have some form of platform, to give them props.
Oh, yeah. The NBA bubble did great. The ratings tanked for other reasons that we won't talk about. Yeah. But, I mean... Also, the games weren't that fun, except for the Nuggets series. There wasn't a couple good stories. Like, I don't think a lot of people wanted to see the Lakers win. I don't know if like, that was, like a popular pick. But, like, the Nuggets kind of got everyone's attention because, like, Jamal Murray became, like, a superstar overnight. You had, like, the Heat became America's darling for a week. It was kind of cool. Like, those are good stories. And then you have LeBron and the Lakers win. I mean, I think the bubble would have been more successful if a different team won the title.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the Celtics would have been cool, but, like, it's just like, eh.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm not a huge basketball fan. I've watched, in the past year, one basketball game. I was at a friend's house, and she threw it on. But that template that they set up for, like, COVID precautions, kudos to them.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we now have Pat. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, because Pat's here, we are bringing back America's favorite game. I got to give credit to my former co-host, Mark Riley, even though what he said about the Eagles today was so despicable. I'm going to bring it up in last call. I have a two-parter for last call today. First off, stay or call. Pat, the premise is simple. Are you staying for another round, or are you calling your tab and bailing? NFL edition, no college, no NBA. This is straight NFL. So, first off, the unlikely dynamic duo in Philadelphia of Travis Fulgham and Jalen Reagor. Reagor, of course, played his first start since week two. He had two touchdowns, a couple catches. He almost had a second touchdown if it wasn't for a miracle play by Cowboys cornerback so-and-so Brown. I can't remember his first name right now. It was just a great play by him, but Reagor should have come down the ball. And Fulgham, of course, you know, 70-plus yards, a touchdown. And since the last four games, out of every NFL receiver, Rieger's first in yards and touchdowns. Except for he's first in yards, and the only person with more touchdowns is Chase Claypool. Sorry. I had to change those, like, the docket. But, yeah. So, Reagor and Fulgham, Pat, are you buying this duo for Wentz? Are you buying that the Eagles finally, out of, like, some mishmash of players, pulled two good receivers out to have their, like, their best duo they've had since possibly Jackson and Macklin?
Yeah, I mean, Fulham's, like, insane for you guys. Like, I don't know, like, where did he even come? Was he a practice squad, guys?
He was drafted by Detroit in the sixth round, cut by Detroit, picked up by Green Bay for about 30 seconds. They cut him. Oh, they could really use him right now, huh? We got him in because we had a last-minute injury before San Francisco, and he comes in, and I'm like, I'm watching the game, like, who the hell is 13? Like, God, did Aguilar go south of the bay and suit up for us again? And then it's like Fulgham. I'm like, who the hell is Fulgham? And then he catches that touchdown as the game winner against San Fran, and I was just like, oh, I'm all on the hype train. Then he catches one against Baltimore, one against Pittsburgh, and then catches one against Dallas. I'm just like, I'm all about it. I'm trying to find my Travis Fulgham jersey t-shirt. I'm like, I'm buying it. The dude puts up yardage. He gets open.
I'll buy into the duo for you guys. I think, you know, I think he's going to, the two of them, Reagor, are going to really help you guys into the playoffs this year. I mean, again, I fully think of how bad the NFC East is. You guys have it on lock. But because of those two offensively, that might be the best option you guys have going forward.
I was really impressed with Rieger's route running and his ability to break tackles in the open field. That really impressed me on Sunday. And the fact is, I know the kid can fly. I know the kid can absolutely rip down the field. I wanted to see all the in-between. And with Fulgham, I got to see, with Reagor, it turns into this whole, the whole knocks on, like, you guys should have drafted Justin Jefferson. I'm like, yeah, Justin Jefferson can outrun Ronald Darby, one of the fastest cornerbacks in football, with a two-step start. Like, I'll take explosiveness and has to, like, you can't teach speed.
Yeah, no, you
really can't. It's God-given. I'm not saying he's Ruggs or Tyreek or John Ross, but this kid can flat-out fly, and him and Wentz already have a little bit of chemistry. I'll take it. I'll roll with this. So I'm staying for rounds. Next one, the man whose hair are almost as beautiful as mine, rookie quarterback for the Chargers, Justin Herbert. Are you staying on the Herbert hype train?
I gotta say, if we're talking long term, absolutely. I mean, even short term, I don't even know why I tried to make a distinction there. Justin Herbert's been so good for the Chargers. You know, like I said earlier in the show, really hate to see what they did to Tyrod, or what the organization ended up doing to Tyrod. But I mean, you had a face of the franchise as your backup. You just wanted him to develop a little bit more. He had a chance to step in, show that he could really, like, step up in the situation. So yeah, I'm staying on Herbert, man.
I respect it. I'm also staying too. I'll keep it quick. He's the most talented quarterback in this class. I think when it comes to arm strength, mobility, toughness, just quick it sense, he's got everything. He's got receivers that are just good for his development. You got Keenan Allen, who just gets open. Mike Williams, Mike Williams' catch radius is about the size of a garage door. So just like yeet it in his direction, he'll come down with it. I think they can use a deep threat, but other than that, it's just a speed guy. But get him a running back and a speed guy in this draft to help the offensive line. That's a playoff team next year. That they are taking shots at Oakland and Kansas City. So you may have to
rob Eckler. When is Eckler? I don't like it. You don't like Eckler?
Eckler? I don't know. It's like 3-4 weeks. And the problem is with Eckler, it's like I don't know what the Chargers were thinking because they knew they weren't getting Gordon back.
Yeah.
Why didn't you make a run at Bell? That was my thing. I'm like, oh my god, you get a running back who's patient, who can catch the ball out of backfield, who can block. Oh my god, go get him for Justin Herbert. They don't do it. Well, then they've lost a couple games. Their season's over. I think they go out and get a Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State. They go get a Jalen Waddle out of Alabama or a Smith out of Alabama. They go get a burner at receiver or a good running back. Because they're going to have decent season. They'll probably be top 15. I could see Chuba Hubbard falling to 15. Get this guy a running game around him. Eckler's a good a number two option at running back, but it's just not working for the chart. I think Herbert right now, he's doing a lot of it on its own. That's why he gives me the Wentz 2016 vibes, but it's the best thing for him, I believe. So I'm definitely staying on Herbert.
I mean, yeah, same for Herbert too. I think if they get Eckler, when they get Eckler back, it'll be interesting to see how much is different on that offense compared to what they have been doing in his absence. But yeah, we'll see. Like I said earlier in the show, the record does not reflect how good that team really is.
Facts. All right. Next up is the only undefeated team left in football, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am staying all the way to February 4th on these boys. I think they are going to represent the Super Bowl in the AFC. I think right now, at least until somebody proves me otherwise, they can probably their defense can go toe to toe with the Kansas City. Their special teams are top notch, and on offense, you have a budding number one receiver in Chase Claypool. You have a bunch of good supporting weapons with Johnson, Washington, and Juju. Juju's the best number two receiver in the league when he's got a number one. Claypool's clearly a number one talent. Ebron, great fit for them with Vance McDonald. It's like almost like a perfect fit because he's explosive where Vance McDonald's a great blocker. Big Ben's having an explosive running. They could use an explosive running back. Yeah. But is Connor okay? Sure. I just think they're the most complete team in the AFC. And I'll give them all the benefit of the doubt here. I really think truly that the Steelers are going to represent the AFC in Tampa Bay in February. I don't know who's coming out of the NFC. It could be anyone from Philadelphia to Kansas to Seattle. Nobody knows. The freaking NFC is going to basically be like, all right, who's still alive? But yeah. AFC, I don't see anybody. You go down every single team, Pat. It's like, all right, there's about two or three notches wrong with their team. All right, let's start with Tennessee. Tannehill, what the hell was that on Sunday? And, I mean, yes, they get Desmond King, but, that's fine, but if you can't throw the ball down the field, you got A.J. Brown, a top 10 receiver. You got to get him the ball. Baltimore, Lamar, and they can't throw the ball. They can't get behind or they're screwed. They turn the ball over. And then you go to Buffalo. I don't really say much. They're like a year away. So that's my thing I'm staying with. I got him. I'm staying with him.
I don't know what it is. You made a lot of good points, but I got to call on the Steelers. I don't think that they represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I have that vibe that they're kind of at that peak, that they're about to kind of teeter over the edge and they're going to kind of sizzle out. Maybe like a one or two seed in the AFC, but I don't see them honestly going to the Super Bowl. And I think it's just maybe it's Big Ben coming back off of an injury and he's just kind of having that I need to like rebound and show that, you know, I can still perform like I did before. But I don't know. I'm just waiting for that moment of just them falling off. But their team is decent. They have a really good team. I think that they reality are like maybe number two seed in the AFC. We'll see, though. I mean, there's still plenty of season left.
Would you agree, though, that you could definitely see being Steelers, Chiefs in the AFC title game?
Absolutely. I think that the Chiefs may possibly have another Super Bowl year. I don't want to jinx it for them, but
I would agree. No, seriously, if I'm a betting man right now, I might always put money on my team as like my personal team is like, you know, it's like a funny joke. It's like, you know what, screw it. Let me throw my boys about to win the Super Bowl, because you know the odds are usually like over 3,000 to 1.
Yeah,
it's like, why not, right? It's like, but like, if I was a betting man, if I was gonna predict who's gonna win the Super Bowl, I still like Kansas City. The problem is like their defense improved. They didn't get any new weapons. They just improved. Their only weakness is their weak side cornerback Ward, but even him, he's not terrible every week.
So I know we're stare calling on the Steelers, but on the subject of the Super Bowl, I really think KC takes it for the AFC, and I think the NFC is probably going to either be the Seahawks or the Bucks. I would really, really like to see a I'm not going to say a Bucks Super Bowl because I don't want to see Tom Brady in a Super Bowl outside of a Patriots jersey. I want to see a Seahawks KC Super Bowl.
That'd be interesting because both teams can score. I want to see Tyreek and DK race at halftime for the entertainment.
Oh, yeah. That's the halftime show right there.
Well, you know what's also funny? We want to bring it back to our Madden League. Who are the two best receivers for the first 10 years of the league in our Madden League? DK and Tyreek.
Yeah.
Me and Kevin's teams.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Madden 20, just send DK Metcalf or Tyreek. Just send him on a streak. Send him just right downfield. He's going to catch it. DK Metcalf on a 50-50 ball is like the meta to how to win a Madden game.
First time I played Pat, DK had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, when I build my team, I just generally build like a good O-line and get like a good running back, a good fullback, and then I just hope that like I can keep the ball away from the other player. Kind of sucks when it's like, oh good, I just grinded out like 15 minutes of time on clock, and my opponent now has the ball, and he's going to just throw up 3 seconds worth of play time, and now DK has another touchdown. Awesome.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I only throw about 2 or 3 of his touchdowns, only 1 touchdowns a week, because he usually averages about 2 or 3 a game, was like, only about one of them was a 50-50 ball. Usually he'd just run by in the corner. My offense, my playbook is literally called slap it into six, like sixth gear.
Yeah.
Because my whole point of my offense, Pat, and you know this, it's literally to score in third in like one play.
Yeah. Kevin, the last few times I played him, has been pulling those because he has a fast receiver. And it's like, I know it's going in, so I'm like, oh, if I call like cover four type plays, and if there's just like a lot of coverage deep, he's not going to get it past. Nope, still gets it past my DBs.
What you do is you play press man. You put your fastest corner on him. You play press man, and you shade to his side.
Now that I've moved to the Memphis Steamers, formerly the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Memphis Steamers, the new team in the league. We got a tank for a year, and then we'll see what we can do against everyone else's team. Which I'll definitely start streaming on Twitch.
It's gonna be fun. We have to. If we play each other, I think we play each other next year.
Yeah,
I would really love to stream our game. It'd be funny as hell. All right. Last one is the Seahawks. Are you I know we just talked. We'll kind of like do this quick. I'm not sold on that defense, but you have them going to the Super Bowl. So you're staying with them?
Yeah. Russ cooks and picks up the slack.
You got to get a pass rusher. They should have made a run in Ngakoue. They really screwed up on that one. But you know what? I guess I'll stay for at least another round, but the Seahawks scare me because they can't play defense.
Yep, definitely the Achilles heel of the team. But I mean, the offense just—they're letting Russ cook. They're letting Russ do what he wants, and it's working. So
yeah, healthy halfback, no problem. Just throw it to LeBron James out there, number 14.
Yeah. Oh, and if he's not open, Tyler Lockett. It's all right.
Yeah. Oh, if he's not open, David Moore. Oh, Will Disley. Oh, Greg Olsen, like, it's just like they find guys and they're just like, oh, yeah, they'll put up numbers. Phil Dorsett's like, on that roster. He barely even touches the ball.
They're like a low key. I feel like they're kind of like a low key Bucks this season. Like, the Bucks got all the attention with like the superstar offense. But I feel like we slept on the Seahawks, just kind of ignored how stacked their offense is.
Yeah. I always, because like, I felt like it was going to be like last year where you're like, oh, they're going to score a ton of points, but it's like, can they stop anybody? And then yeah. I also watched that same team walk into Philadelphia and almost get out-dueled by Josh McCown.
Jeez.
And I was just like, oh. So this may be, I'm like kind of like weird with the Seahawks. I'm like, they're not the best team. They play down the competition. That's their problem.
Yeah.
They'll score just enough points to win. So that does it for a great edition of Stay or Call. Pat, it's time for last call. Kick back, relax. Let's crank that smooth jazz. It's a two-parter today, folks. All right, so folks, honestly, we'll do the serious stuff first. Today, of course, as much as I love talking about the deadline, which nothing has happened, NFL GM, you suck. Give me some content here. It is election day. It is a very polarizing election. I swear to God, if I see one more person telling me to vote, I voted at 8 o'clock this morning. Leave me the hell alone. Pat said he voted as well. Dropbox. All my friends have voted. My family members all voted. I'm very proud of them. I've just seen so many people say they've gone and voted. I have only met one person today who says they're not going to vote. A buddy of mine, I literally said, go vote, you idiot. Just do it. It's your job as an American. He goes, all right, boy. I only got an hour. I'm like, hey, you'll be done in an hour. Don't worry. Regardless of who wins, Trump, Biden, Joe Jorgensen, we're still all Americans. We're still friends, neighbors, Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Libertarians, whatever, it doesn't matter. Because tomorrow morning, you're still my friend, you're still my neighbor, you're still my cousin, my family member, brother, sister, parent, whatever. We all are in this together. This is still a shithole of a year, and we're still here for each other. I just... Guys, it's enough with the hatred on both sides. Neither side is clean in this. Hmm. Do you feel one side maybe hurt you more than the other? Sure, whatever. But you be the better man or the better woman or the better whatever gender you want to choose. I'm not judging. And you say, I got you. We're here for each other. And that's all I got to say. But like before the show, me and Pat had a 20-minute political conversation. Me and Pat are not completely different, but we're on definitely two different areas of the political spectrum.
Yeah, we fall on different sides of the middle, for sure.
Yeah, we're both on different sides of the middle. And I explained to Pat why my vote, and he explained why his vote, and we talked about stuff for a little bit, and we swapped some stories, swapped some ideas, and it was a great conversation. And now it's made me feel good about myself. I'm like, you know what? That was the first non-aggressive political conversation I've gotten with somebody who didn't vote for the same person as me in a very long time. So that was great. So if I leave you with anything today that's productive besides me about to rip a current slash former slash current co-worker after this, be good to each other. It's just an election. We're still neighbors of the day. We're still friends. We're still all Americans. We have to be there for each other regardless of race, religion, creed, ethnicity, sexual orientation, location, fan base except for the Cowboys, and like... We're all in this together. We're all in this together, guys and girls and theys, thems, he's, who, she's, whatever. We're all in this together, all right? Just let's all be good to each other. It's almost the holiday season, and no matter what they tell us for lockdowns, you can't take away our holiday spirit. So let's be good to each other. All right, switch to this non-serious shit. All right, so you guys know my former co-host and fellow Eagles fan, at least I think so half the time, Philadelphia native Mr. Mark Riley. So Mark has been on hiatus for Belly Up. His life's gotten crazy. You know, we appreciate the effort he put in for us for the time he was here when he worked and everything else. Mark, of course, left the show about a year and a half ago. And, you know, I'm not going to say the show upgraded, but Kevin definitely brought a different energy to the show. Pat, same thing. Even Savannah at some points was a breath of fresh air. Joey, when he filled in. KJ. Oh, so Mark and me are big Eagles fans. We're on different sides of the Eagles spectrum. I am an optimistic Eagles fan, but the fact is my law of football is film. What I see on film is what I swear by. Mark is a stats nerd. He's a draft nerd. So Mark tweeted out today responding to my boy Victor Williams. Check him on Twitter. Awesome dude. Covers everything Philadelphia. He was talking about, like, making a trade and getting somebody to help us out. And he said, Howie, do something. That's our GM, Howie Roseman. Mark responds by saying, for what? A first-round exit? I'm sorry. That may be a possibility. Right now, if we don't get anybody, that's a very real possibility. The team that showed up on Sunday, that's a very, very real possibility. But the Eagles team that is coming out of the out of their bye week? I don't know. I'm optimistic. We have a top 10 running back, a very good young receiving core that's getting in sync. We have our best tight end back, Goddard. Our offensive line's getting semi-healthy. Our defense is playing out of their damn minds. Except for everyone who's out for the season, our guys are, our team's gonna be healthy except for Hurts, and nobody wants him in the damn locker room anyway. So all I'm saying is, Mark, shut up. You are the type of Eagles fan that makes me hate other Eagles fans sometimes. Believe in your squad. Pat, do you believe in your Patriots even when they're down by a touchdown or two?
I always have faith. It might be a little bit of bitter or passive aggressive, but there's always a little bit of faith in there.
Listen, there, like, to quote Dumb and Dumber, there is, so you're saying there's a chance. There is always a chance with this Eagles team. Because, come on, we lost our starting quarterback and we still won the damn Super Bowl. Like, this team doesn't make any sense. This city doesn't make any sense. We finally got a lockdown corner. Our passer's just playing like it's 2017 again. We have our best running back we've had since LeSean McCoy. Like, shit. What else? Fuck it. Like, let's make a run of the Super Bowl. Who cares? That's all I got. Pat, you got anything else before we send the lovely folks home?
I do. So, this Saturday is one of the very, very few moments of college football where when I watch it, I am on the edge of my seat. I am screaming at the TV. It is one of two games in the Army football season, and it's Army Air Force. So my dad is an Air Force vet. I'm an Army vet. Neither of us really went. I'm in community college. My dad didn't really go to like big college or anything. So he roots for Air Force. I root for Army because they're, you know, prior service branches. It is the most awkward when there's like any big play because there's one person screaming and one person just yelling. Like, so I say this to anyone listening to the show. I ask you from the bottom of my heart, just root for Army. Go Army. Beat Air Force. Go Army. Beat Navy.
Go Army. Best uniforms in college football.
Absolutely. Especially
they
last year.
They always break out a new uniform. I love it every time.
Army-Navy game last year. They wore the 1st Cavalry Division colors. My old unit colors. Oh, whew, sexy. But
so clean.
Hey.
All right. Also, go Miami against North Carolina State. Let's get those boys into the top 10. We're 11 right now. We're better than 3 or 4 of those teams in that top 10. So, like, let's get them in the top 10. Let's get them close to that. Let's get a shot at that damn playoff. Yeah. I'm not saying there's a lot of a chance. There's still a chance. All right.
There's still a chance.
Thank you for filling in today. Kevin will be back Thursday and Friday, folks, for our live stream and weekend edition. Pat, thank you so much for filling in. That was a great show. Really appreciate having you.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Look for there'll be folks, if you love Pat, don't worry. There's plenty more Pat on our show. He's definitely going to be part of our Corner Booth family from now on with his random appearances here and there. So keep that in mind. He still shot better than Kevin in picks last week. Me and him had 3. Pat had, like, Kevin had 2. So there you go.
Yeah. Hey, I'm the upset
pick. If it wasn't for Baker, you would have won.
Yeah.
5-3. Like, you would have beaten me by 2, but that one play just kind of hosed you.
Yeah, I mean, that and Kevin's help with the Bengals pick may have...
No, that was the play.
Oh, okay. Jesus. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
No, listen, like, we both said the same thing, but, like, we none of us thought Cleveland was actually going to get their shit together in the final drive. So there you go. So one in a million shots. Yeah, so, Pat, thank you so much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, that is another episode of the Corner Booth. Kevin will say usual high-pitched little bite, but that'll wrap it up. We will see you guys on Thursday. Hey guys, Jared. Thanks for checking out the Corner Booth Pod. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram @CornerBoothPod. This podcast is brought to you by the Belly Up Podcast Network.